Angelology, the Study of Angels. By Dr. Robert D. Luganbill. Essential Doctrines of the Bible. Bible Basics. Part 2a. God's Creation of Angelic Beings, the Rebellion of Some, His Plan and Ultimate Victory. In speaking of angels, he says, He makes His angels winds, His servants flames of fire. Hebrews 1, 7. Introduction. The subject of angels has long fascinated mankind, not just believers but unbelievers, and not just dedicated believers bent on spiritual growth, but also those with itchy ears for this subject, but not necessarily for other teachings of the Bible. The purpose of this study is to give an essential overview of what God would have us to know about angels based upon what is actually contained in His Word. The purpose, creation and nature of angels. 1. The purpose of angels. God, the Creator, existed before His creation. John 1, 1-3. It is important to remember that angels, for all their temporary superiority to mankind, are creatures too. God, the Creator of the universe, of time and of space, existed and exists before the universe and outside of it. Angels, on the other hand, as creatures, can only exist within the creation, and are, therefore, subject to time and space. Though their capabilities currently surpass those of human beings, they are still fellow servants of God, and subordinate to Him in every way. Revelation 19:10 and 22:9. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and world, from everlasting to everlasting, you were God. Psalm 90:2. God was self-sufficient before He created the universe, and is so now. Isaiah 40, 21-26. God did not need to create the universe, or angels, or mankind, or anything, for that matter. He is perfect and has no needs whatsoever. This was true before His first act of creation, and remains and will remain so throughout the course of creature history and into eternity. God, who created the universe and everything in it, even He who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples our hands have made, nor is He ministered to by the hands of men, as if He needed anything from us. On the contrary, He is the one who gives life and breath and everything else to us all. Acts 17:24 and 25. God's purpose in creating angels and mankind is for His glory and our good. Isaiah 43, 7. Ephesians 1, 5 and 6. And 1:11 and 12. God is the potter, and all we His creatures are the clay, created for the praise of His glory, and His glory we shall praise on that day of eternity and forevermore. Isaiah 29, 16, 45, 9, 64, 8, Jeremiah 18, 4-6, and Romans 9, 21. But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father. We are the clay, and Thou art a potter, and we all are the work of Thy hand. Isaiah 64, 8. This is true not only of His creatures who respond to Him and follow Him and His Son, but also for those who have rejected His authority and His Son. Romans 14:11 and Philippians 2:10 and 11. By Myself I have sworn. From My mouth a righteous word has gone forth, which will not be revoked, that every knee will bow to Me, and to Me every tongue will swear. And so they will acknowledge Me. Only in the Lord are righteousness and might. Before Him will come all who raged against Him and they will be put to shame. Isaiah 45, 23 and 24. Moreover, angels and mankind alike will praise Him for all His marvelous deeds on our behalf, for He is glorified by blessing us. This is the God with whom we have to do. To Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Revelation 5:13. 2. The creation of angels. At some undisclosed time following His creation of the heavens and the earth, God created the angels. Psalm 138:2-5 and Colossians 1:16. This event took place after the original ex nihilo, that is out of nothing, creation of the universe described Genesis 1:1. And before the restoration of the earth, described also of Job 38, 4-7, which followed God's initial judgment upon the universe because of Satan's rebellion, the results of which are described in Genesis 1, 2 and following. God created all angelic kind at this time, including Satan and all those who would eventually rebel against him. Though some would come to choose against him, all the angels were originally created holy. Deuteronomy 33, 2, Psalm 89, 7, Mark 8, 38, and Luke 9, 26. God gave each of them distinct duties and definite domains in which to exercise specified authority delegated by him. Colossians 1, 16, Ephesians 6, 12, Hebrews 1, 7 and 14, and Jude 6, 3. The nature of angels. 1. Angels are finite beings. As created beings, angels are dependent upon time and space, though more powerful. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7, and 2 Peter 2, 11, mobile. Genesis 28, 12, and knowledgeable. 2 Samuel 14, 20, and Acts 7, 53, than mankind. They are neither omniscient, Matthew 24, 36, nor omnipotent, Romans 8, 38, nor omnipresent, Daniel 10, 13. 2. Angels are finite in number. Angels are often described as the host of heaven and otherwise compared to the innumerable stars. For example, Job 25, 3, Psalm 103, 20 and 21, Isaiah 40, 26 and Luke 2, 13, but although they are a highly organized group and quite numerous, it should be understood that they are not infinite in number, however large that undisclosed number may be. Deuteronomy 33, 2, Psalm 68, 17, Daniel 7, 10, Hebrews 12, 22, and Revelation 5, 11. Further, angels are not subject to death, Luke 20, 36, nor do they reproduce, Mark 12, 25, leading us to the conclusion that their number has been the same since their collective creation. 3. Angels are different from human beings in significant respects. Unlike human beings, angels do not grow old, or hungry or tired. Angels are thus not subject to many of the more obvious material restraints that limit human activity and are, for the most part, completely invisible to us. However, angels can at times appear in bodily form, as in the case of the announcement of Christ's birth, Luke 2, 8 through 15, and can also affect the material world with great power. Consider the angels who control the winds, Revelation 7, 1 through 3. 4. Angels are similar to human beings in significant respects. Like human beings, angels possess personality and individuality, as evidenced, for example, by joy, Job 38, 4 through 7, and Luke 15, 10, desire, 1 Peter 1, 12, and choice, Jude 6. And like us, they are created to serve and worship God for His glory, Psalm 103, 20 and 21, 148, 2, Matthew 4, 11, Hebrews 1, 14, and Revelation 4, 8, 5. Angels are temporarily superior to mankind. In terms of power and ability, the present angelic superiority to mankind is obvious in every passage of Scripture in which they are described. This current angelic superiority significantly also extends to the area of longevity. While mankind is enjoying a sequential residence on earth, generation following generation, angelic kind has been experiencing a continuum of existence in heaven, even before the creation of man. This longevity, combined with the fact that angels, though creatures like men, are not subject to the same degree to the restraints and necessities of time and space that encumber mankind, undoubtedly contributes to their superior knowledge and wisdom as well. By its very essence, therefore, the angelic nature is superior to our present earthly human nature in terms of appearance, intellect, power, mobility and authority, 2 Peter 2:11. 6. Angels will ultimately be inferior to mankind. Angels will not always be superior to mankind. Just as our Lord's humanity is, in resurrection, superior to angels in every way, Hebrews 1, 4-2:18, so also we are destined to share that superiority with Him in our resurrection, 1 Corinthians 6, 3, and Hebrews 2, 5. 7. Angels are acutely aware of and involved in human affairs. The involvement of angelic beings in human affairs is part and parcel of their role in promoting, or, in the case of the fallen angels, opposing God's plan for human history. On a more personal level, however, angels are also apparently extremely interested in observing human behavior in general and in the playing out of God's plan in particular. 1 Timothy 3:16, 5:21, and 1 Peter 1:10-12. This is particularly true in the case of the Son of Man, our Lord Jesus Christ. They were present at his birth, Luke 2:13 and 14, temptation, Matthew 4:11, resurrection, Luke 24:4, ascension, Acts 1:10 and 11, and return, 2 Thessalonians 1:7, evidence which underscores angelic interest in the most crucial phase of God's plan, namely the life and work of the Messiah. By observation, angels are learning, to their joy in the case of the elect angels, to their sorrow in the case of the fallen angels, about the wisdom, the power, the grace and the mercy of God. 8. Angels should neither be worshipped nor disrespected. In any discussion of angels, it is important to keep in mind both their present superiority and their eventual subordination to us. Angels are not to be disrespected. Luke 10:20, 1 Peter 2:10-12, and Jude 8:10, but neither are they to be worshipped. Revelation 19:10 and 22:9. This is especially important in regard to fallen angels. God counterbalances their evil efforts with the work and ministrations of his holy, elect angels. Therefore, although we are to have a healthy respect for the adversary and his potential to oppose us, 2 Corinthians 2:11, Ephesians 6:11, and 1 Peter 5:8, we are not to be unduly terrified by him and his minions. And while we are to have an awareness and appreciation for the positive function of the elect angels on our behalf, we are not to be inordinately fixated upon them, especially since both their persons and their work are invisible to us. In neither case should we go beyond what is written in the Bible about angels, whether through excessive fear of satanic influence or an exorbitant fascination with the ministrations of the holy angels.